Okay, this is Pookie TV podcast number
72.
We're recording this about the week following E3 2018. And we had some impressions last week about some of the early conferences, but now the show's over. Everybody kind of blew their wad, so to speak. And we've had a couple days to like reflect on stuff. So same people as last time. I have SPF and 666s on this episode, six. What was your favorite part of E3 overall?
I guess it would have to be everything that has to do with Kingdom Hearts 3, including the new world reveal at the Sony conference.
Was that the Pirates one?
Yeah.
That did look pretty cool. Chad, you're also looking forward to Kingdom Hearts, right?
Cautiously optimistic is what I would. I mean, I'm gonna get it anyway. Like I pre-ordered it in 2014. There was a deal where you could get it for $40 on Amazon. So it's like I'm getting it regardless.
You pre-ordered it like 8 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it would be 4 years ago. There was like some type of glitch where it was only $40, and Wario64 tweeted it out, and I jumped on it.
Yeah, that does look pretty cool. Frozen kind of seemed like a given, but it's still pretty cool to see. It actually, the animation looks completely like the original movie, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is I looked when they announced Frozen, I was all like, oh, that's great. Both Kingdom Hearts and Frozen fans have been waiting a long-awaited sequel.
Frozen fans need to know their place.
Yes, because they definitely need some new songs.
What about Olaf's Snow Adventure?
Oh, God.
Whatever it was called. Yeah, that looked cool. The new mechanics look okay, like the boss battles and stuff. And the summon system looks pretty cool. It's just kind of like their vehicles now. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to all come together. I think it's just be one of those games I just have to sit down and start playing before I really get into it. Although I suddenly just stopped myself because it's like that game comes out in January and I'm not sure if I'll be done with Dragon Quest XI.
Oh, yeah. When's that coming out?
September.
Yeah, that's going to be a big game. Have you played the previous Dragon Quests, any of them?
I played a little bit of Dragon Quest V, Hand of the Heavenly Bride.
On DS.
No, it came out on Android.
Oh.
And, yeah, so I got it on Android.
So not the remake.
No, the Android versions and iOS versions, they're updates of the DS versions.
Oh, really? Oh, so yeah. Like Phoenix Wright or whatever.
Yeah. They didn't go like too HD on it, but they're pretty much similar to the DS game. Actually, crazy enough, these past few weeks I've been seriously contemplating buying a DSi XL and just going back to the DS. It sounds crazy, but when I think back to it, I really, really like my DS Lite. And
yeah, that was a special system.
Yeah. And I don't own it, so I was like, I kind of want to own it just to own it.
But the 3DS is backwards compatible.
But the thing is that the 3DS, because the top screen is widescreen and the bottom screen is square, it looks a little weird playing DS games because on the DS they were both the same size screen.
But they're not changing the aspect ratio.
Yeah, they're not. And so if you get the 3DS XL, you can play the DS games one-to-one.
Right.
Where it just puts parts on the side. I just didn't really like that. So actually, oh, yeah. Wait. There's been so many Nintendo systems, I'm actually confused on the which one I own. But yeah, because I had the Fire Emblem Fates, and I believe that was an XL, not the regular. But to me, I just kind of feel like I would almost want to play it on the original system, just because I don't have to worry about there being black bars on the side. And I remember the DS having a really bright screen. And yeah. So I haven't, because I don't really have the free time, so I've kind of backed off on it. But I think that might be the next nostalgia trip I'll take, will be back to Nintendo DS.
Let me know how that goes. Post a thread about it.
Yeah, sure.
Those are always pretty fun. Nostalgic trips.
Yeah, the last one I took was Yoshi's Island for Super Nintendo.
I still need to, since I moved, I haven't played it since it's, but I do have it on the, actually I have the cartridge too, but I have the SNES Classic as well.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, I've made it through like three worlds on each, and then something happened and I just haven't got back to it.
Yeah.
So Chad, what was your favorite part? I mean, aside from Kingdom Hearts, if that is what it is.
Well, overall game is still Cyberpunk 2077.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched that trailer more times than I'm willing to admit.
It's a great trailer, too.
Yeah, it has these strange similarities to the GTA 5 trailer. In fact, the main guy even sounds like Michael from GTA 5. But yeah, just everything about the game, just it's such a good trailer. And it's like, I want to know so much about that world and what's going on. And all the covers that's come out since the trailer came out, that it's first person and that it's more of a kind of an open world hub system. All of that stuff just makes me want the game even more.
Mm. Yeah, I'm really excited about, like, because it didn't, what's most striking about it is, yeah, you have like, you know, Cyberpunk's a big thing. Used to be a big thing. It's coming back as a big thing. But this feels like a very like living, breathing world where it's not like 100% dour and depressing and shit, but like there's actually some fun to be had, you know? And I don't think we've really seen that in kind of Cyberpunk as much. You know, Cyberpunk is punk. It's transgressive. It's, you know, designed to be kind of depressing overall, but the entire aesthetic that they're going for, I'm definitely sold on it. It feels very fresh.
Yeah. The only thing I worry about is what that game's going to play like on the base systems versus what it's going to play on the PlayStation 4 Pro versus if it's cross-gen. So it's like, there's like all these things that I'm kind of worried about. Mm-hmm. But the content-wise, it looks fantastic. And like more stuff came out that you can play as a female too. And if you actually watch the trailer, you get a small glimpse of like the default character, and she looks amazing.
Mm. So are people going to start playing as a female character like in Mass Effect?
Yeah, I mean, I never got into that, playing as FemShep, but I think like her design, it's so cool and it's so punk rock. She has like this like dark hair, and it's like she looks so much more appealing than like the main default guy. Mm-hmm. I can definitely see a lot of people getting around female V.
Mm. What was your biggest surprise of E3 other than that?
Surprisingly, it was when the Nintendo Direct opened up with, I forget the name, it's Daemon times Machina or Mechana.
Daemon X Machina.
Yeah, Daemon X Machina. That game, like, that was one of the reasons why I had such a positive impression of the Nintendo show.
Just because it started with that?
Yeah, they started off with that, and I was like, oh my god, what is this? Like, this is, like, too weird to be Armored Core, but, and then, like...
I was like, is this, like, custom Robo coming back? But it was, like, too... Like, the art style didn't match up at all. Yeah.
I was thinking it was going to be an edgy reboot of custom Robo.
Right. Oh, man.
But yeah, like, it's been so long since we've had a good Armored Core game that it's like Nintendo opening the show with that. Like, it was just such a breath of fresh air. And just like the art style and...
Oh, yeah, and the style they were going for with like the heavy death metal or whatever. Oh, yeah, man.
I was like, this is such a weird, like, I was just like, I cannot believe they chose to open
like,
the show with this.
You look back, like, 3 years ago, they opened with, like, Muppets, you know? Then this opens with, like, Metalocalypse. That's what I thought of. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that's definitely my biggest surprise, and I definitely rated Nintendo's conference a little bit higher than the other ones, mainly because I didn't really have a lot of expectations. But I think that, you know, them focusing on what they pretty much had for 2018, you know, they went into a little bit more depth on Pokemon, and then they went really in depth on Smash Brothers.
Right.
And a lot of people didn't like that, but I can understand where Nintendo was coming from.
I love it just because the lead up to Smash 3DS and Wii U releasing, that was just like all the Smash directs were a lot of fun to go through, you know, all the trailers, all the tweaks and additions, you know, and last game we had, you know, the cloud hanging over it, no pun intended, of like who is going to get cut, you know, what's going to get lost in the new one, because there's always something you like from the past game that doesn't get carried over. But them taking the interesting strategy of making it just like a Smash best of like everything compilation is just crazy. It's ridiculous. But I'm kind of, that's kind of my most exciting game of E3. And that's why. But yeah, that was just incredible for me. But yeah, other people probably didn't like it as much.
Yeah, and I think like they touched on something about, it was small, but it seemed like they were going to do character unlocks in an interesting way. Like they might kind of like randomly pull characters in and randomly take them out.
They did say they were updating the unlocking process.
Yeah, and I wonder if, because they have so many characters, like I'm reminded of Gran Turismo 5 when there was like over 1,000 cars, they would just kind of randomly bring in cars. And it was kind of like, you might end up spending time playing with a car that you wouldn't necessarily play just because it was in like the random shop. So I'm kind of wondering if they might structure it something like that where, you know, you might end up like playing, instead of just going for your favorite, you might end up just going for like Donkey Kong or Little Mac or.
Yeah, for like single player. Yeah, I can see that. I will say I play a lot of Smash. One of the techniques or one of the things I do when I start getting a little bored when I'm playing with a group is I put the cursor on the random select for character. And you know, whatever starts up in the next match, you know, basically you got to deal with those cards. But it's a lot of fun. I found a couple of my favorites playing that way. DDD and Brawl was a lot of fun to play. You know, I grew to appreciate a little bit more the sword playing characters like Marth. I used to hate how Marth played. I'm like, why aren't there any projectiles? You know, that was so annoying. But yeah, it forces you to like learn the characters in a way you wouldn't otherwise. And that could be cool if they do it that way in the new game. Six, what was your biggest surprise of the show?
I guess it's because I didn't really have much intention to watch it because I thought we were like going to do a podcast at the same time, but the Devolver Digital thing was like this was a surprise and it was really good.
Devolver Digital is definitely not a name I'd go like, oh yeah, Devolver Digital quality, you know. But it definitely seems like they knocked it out of the park this year with their keynote. Yeah, some good stuff came out of that. I usually don't watch like the non-console manufacturer shows or keynotes. I did for a couple this year, and they're actually pretty good. Although Square Enix's was just a bunch of trailers for games I didn't care about playing in a row. no Final Fantasy VII either. Not even like they had like a slightly different trailer for Kingdom Hearts, but it wasn't really like it wasn't as different as like Sony's was. So it's like, well, you think if you'd watch the Square Enix conference, you'd get something extra, you know?
Yeah.
That conference was not that good. Chad, you mentioned that you rated Nintendo the highest. I thought they were good. They definitely could have had a couple more surprises, in my opinion. I think the obviously the stock price dropped a bunch or something the day after, which I don't really think is necessarily appropriate, but whatever. That's the stock market world. But I did think it was a good conference. I thought Microsoft was as good. They were a little too long. Like there were too many just, you know, demos of games we didn't really need demos for. But it was strong overall and they kept to the game. So I give them both around a B. And then Sony kind of, I think they were recovered in the last part of their conference, but they had lost me by that point. From the first two music acts or the intermissions or whatever you want to call it. Like they get an F this year, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I definitely know that a lot of people didn't like the Sony conference. A lot of it, I thought it was unwarranted. Mainly because The Last of Us is a weird game. The Last of Us has always been akin to an indie film student's jerk-off session. Like, I think people have forgotten, Sony did a live play, a live reenactment of The Last of Us, like a live action play. Like, they've done weird stuff with The Last of Us. So bringing out the composer to do a banjo session and having them actually build a set from the game, like to me, like that's like, okay, well, yeah, that's The Last of Us. Like, I'm not shocked by that.
It's so cinematic, though.
Yeah. And, like, I can, like, okay, like, like, I know Sony. I know weird Sony. I know PlayStation 3 era Sony. I know PlayStation 2 era Sony, going back to where they were putting charts and stuff up, showing sales figures. I know Sony. I get
you
what they were going
baby
for.
Baby on Fire commercial Sony?
Yeah.
Black and white PSP Sony?
Like, I get where they were coming from. And to me, I wish people were critical of Sony in a way that makes a little bit more sense. Because to me, like, even the more and more I thought about it, the fact that they did the transition from The Last of Us to Ghost of Tsushima, there is an element of even, like, East and West and connecting them with music. And it's just like, like, I can appreciate it, but the fact that it went so flat for so many people, I definitely think should make Sony reevaluate how they move in the future. I'm obviously not the target audience. As far as, you know, I get it, but if a lot of other people didn't get it, then, you know, it's not really warranted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. Hopefully they'll change it around. Or maybe just go back to just playing trailers. You know, it seemed to work fine for Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. definitely arrogant Sony is good for a laugh sometimes. I wonder, this just hit me for some reason. I wonder if they're going to have a Vita follow-up or if they're just going to stick with PS4 and phones going forward.
Probably.
I think they're going to stick with phones. I think they're going to make a big play for expanding PlayStation Now. There was just a story on Kotaku today about how they're going to start offering downloads on PlayStation Now in addition to streaming. So it's kind of hard to guess because right now Sony, they're in a mood where they don't really want to do that much new because it's almost like they want to hold some stuff back to make the PlayStation 5 seem exciting. So
Right. We're
really in a mood where Sony's just winding things down, just giving you enough to not make sales fall off a cliff. And so as far as their game lineup is concerned, I think they're doing a good job. But I definitely kind of, I can already kind of feel that people are kind of hungry for something new from Sony.
And that's insane to me, by the way, but whatever. People's preferences are their own.
Well, I mean, well, this generation definitely hasn't been as long as the last generation, but I definitely think it's time for Sony to give us the next vision for where they're going to go in the future. But I don't think they're going to give that vision until they have new hardware to back it up.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that. And especially it's rumored that they're not going to announce anything before next year with a 2020 launch date, I think was the current going rumor, which seems too soon to me. But then I guess it came out in what, 2013, right? I don't know. I think of like the PlayStation 4 just came out. Like it's just new, you know? I don't know.
A lot of people feel that way.
What's that?
A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing for the last generation, the PS3 and 360. Like they felt new for quite a while. It wasn't until like Nintendo started talking about Project Cafe that I was like, hey, yeah, this generation is going on a little long. And then it took like another year and a half after the Wii U came out for, you know, Microsoft and Sony to make a move.
Yeah. But I've had this criticism for Sony a lot, but it's like a lot of times Sony is really bad telling their story. I really think Sony could, if they really want it to move forward in the future, I think they need to really pay attention to how Apple runs their keynotes. And it's like, even when Apple doesn't have a lot to show, what they show, they do a good job telling that story. And so it's like, I definitely think that there's a lot of cynicism coming around Sony as far as, you know, cross-play and cross-buy. Like, I can definitely see the pitchfork starting to come out. And, like, I definitely think Sony, I don't think they can go into PlayStation 5 with a lot of arrogance. I don't want them to come in with a lot of hubris like Microsoft did with the Xbox One.
Well, it's whoever's on top goes into the next generation really, arrogant and haughty, you know?
You know, I heard about, I think it was an ex-Sony employee talking about the cross-play and why Sony doesn't do it. And, like, they basically summed it up as they don't want people playing, like, something on a PlayStation against people playing on an Xbox or whatever. And, like, they acknowledged it was a dumb reason, but it's that still was their reason. They did say that they might go into crossplay if they get pressured enough to do it.
Classic Sony.
Yeah, and that was John Smetley, who ran Sony Online Entertainment, who's now running Daybreak, who might be getting money from the Russian government. I don't know. There might be some Russian collusion there. There's some weird stuff going on with H1Z1.
Where's Mueller? Fucking.
But, I mean, he's not wrong. Like, I definitely agree. Like, it's an issue with money. It's an issue with Sony. Like, a lot of the stuff with the crossplay, it's like people want to pretend like Sony isn't competing with Nintendo and Microsoft.
Well, they said they weren't, you know. Both companies say they're not. Whether that's actually true is room for speculation, but.
Yeah, well, I mainly guess from the Verge article. The Verge was all like, you know, was really trying to make it seem like, oh, the poor, pitiful Switch. Like, I can't believe Big Bad Sony's, you know, fighting with the Switch. They're not even competing with them. And that's not true. Like, if you look at what Sony does cross-platform on PC, Android, iOS, Mac, those are all platforms that Sony makes applications for the iPhone and the Android. Like, Sony has a PlayStation Now client for the PC and the Mac. Like, those are platforms that Sony has an active interest in. They have no active interest in Xbox One or Switch.
I think it's just, I mean, it's a mix of, yeah, Sony wanting to have their cake and eat it, with crossplay, but it's also, there was that rumor a while back, and it's a lot of it's since been proven true. A lot of the overall stuff, but I don't know about specific stuff. And the rumor was, Sony essentially money-hatted Monster Hunter World away from the Switch. It could come out for anything else but the Nintendo Switch. I think there are still sour grapes about that at Sony. And the other part of the rumor is that Switch was getting Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, which it is. That turned out to be true. And no Monster Hunter World for Switch announced as of yet. It definitely seems like in that department, Sony was being vengeful.
Well, how is that any different from the 8 years that Dragon Quest never went on any other platform besides Nintendo platforms? Like, that was
Nintendo,
obviously a money head deal.
well, Nintendo offered to publish those games and market them
No, well, no, here's the deal.
internationally.
Yeah, but we're talking about even when smartphones were on the rise, there were no Dragon Quest games on the smartphone. Like there was a clear time when Dragon Quest was exclusively available on Nintendo systems, and then,
That was before smartphones.
but like even when smartphones were coming up, and you had Square Enix who was like dropping smartphone games like crazy.
I don't know.
I don't know. To me, it seemed like Dragon Quest was a very clear money head.
Well,
Monster Hunter.
that wasn't necessarily a Sony property. I mean, it started on, Nintendo and Super Nintendo. I'm not sure how much of a revenge fuck from Nintendo that was, considering there was like two or three games on PlayStation in the Dragon Quest series before it went back to DS.
It's one of the largest RPG series in Japan.
Yes, I know. I'm just saying it's probably not associated with Sony. If it's
Well,
associated with anybody, I'm not saying it is.
Well, there was, well, we can argue on Dragon Quest. Monster Hunter to me seemed like the same deal where, Monster Hunter seemed like that was a clear money hat from Nintendo.
Again, helping with marketing internationally.
But the thing is that helping out when marketing is one thing, making a game exclusive is a whole other thing.
The
Like,
series
Call of
wasn't exclusive. There were still Freedom Unite games coming out on Xbox and PSP.
That doesn't count. And then there
Back
was
in the
always that.
day, there was a real concern about breaking up the, the player base across different systems, which on home consoles that's not as much of an issue. Actually, I don't know. Does that game have crossplay? That'd be pretty cool if that game had crossplay.
I've heard people bring up that point, and to me, it just seems ridiculous. Like, in an era where, like, you're telling me the Japanese people can't figure out what platform to get Monster Hunter from? Like, it's really gonna break
Don't
them?
put words in my mouth. I didn't say any specific kind of people have any specific kind of problem. Just saying people didn't want to buy the same game twice. The wireless APIs that games use for, PlayStation Portable and DS are incompatible. I don't know. It was a concern. I didn't say it was necessarily justified. I don't know.
But I remember hearing that brought up a lot on NeoGAF. To me, it seemed ridiculous because if you walk up to a group of people and they all have PSPs and you bring your 3DS, then you can't play with them. How is that any different from people in America who, kids go to school and some of their friends have PlayStations, some of them have Xbox, and they want to play Call of Duty? If we in America can figure it out, Japan can figure it out too. It doesn't seem that complicated. And to me, the money has really always been in multi-platform.
Well,
That's where you make.
tell Sony blocking crossplay on that. Bringing it back around.
Well, Sony didn't make Fortnite. Epic made Fortnite. And Fortnite is multi-platform.
It's okay, just... you know what? Sony has, I mean, Sony has the right to do whatever they want, but they, it. I don't disagree with them blocking crossplay necessarily. That's the way things in the industry have always gone. And as someone who is a Nintendo fan, who desperately wanted them to change and evolve for a decade, you know, I'd be a hypocrite if I said, you know, Sony should feel bad about doing what the industry has always done. That said, it's really shitty that they are blocking your account, your Fortnite account or whatever, from being played on any other system after you associate it with the PS4 version. That's incredibly shitty.
I don't think it's been confirmed that Sony's actually doing that. And to me, that's on Epic. Like, if Epic
can't... Of course you would spin it that way. Of course.
No. But here's the deal, though. Like, Epic... Like, Fortnite is not a single-player game. Fortnite is an online game. Epic knows everything you've done in Fortnite. They know if you bought the Battle Pass. They know what skins you've unlocked. Epic has all of that information.
Sony blocking it?
But what I'm saying is, why isn't Epic just saying... Well, we're going to do this. Like, crossplay, they can't do that. Like, they need Sony's permission to have direct access.
You need Sony's permission to ship a game on their console. That has not changed. If you break their legalese contract that you sign when you agree to develop games for their system, this is the same for all the manufacturers, then they have the ability to stop selling your game and stop, you know, allowing you to publish your game.
Okay, so what you're talking about is, call it TRCs, the technical requirement checklist. If there is a rule in the TRCs that says you cannot have cross progression with Xbox,
I'm not saying it's in the technical agreement. I'm saying it's in whatever legal agreement that Epic has with Sony. Overall, it probably has a line like Sony has reserves the right to refuse a game or delist a game for these reasons or any reason or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is that,
like, platform makers hold all the power. It's like the freaking iPhone.
True. But what I was talking about is that when a developer submits a game to Sony, there's all of these steps that they have to go through before the game ever reaches the consumer, before it goes on PlayStation 4.
Right, and one of those probably said, hey, Epic, if an account is used with a PS4, you can't use it for anything else. They probably got Epic to sign that for whatever reason.
Okay, so if that rule exists, I want Epic to show it to me. Like, I want Epic to just post about
it. It's probably covered by NDAs. You know how secretive console people are.
They could leak it. Somebody could leak it.
I would also be interested in having it leaked, to be honest.
Well, I mean, like...
Because I believe it exists.
I would love to see the entire document.
Right.
Just see all the steps. Because I've heard weird things where, like, if you hit the eject button on the system, and even if it's a digital game, if it in any way makes your game hang up, that's like an automatic flag. You automatically get rejected. Like, I've heard weird things about the TRCs.
Yeah. I mean, they all have that. Apple has weird stuff in their developer agreements.
And ultimately, like, Lord knows, I wish they would just allow it just to stop people from bitching.
I know. You're like, I wish they would allow it so people would stop hating Sony.
Well, yeah, that too. Well, I mean, I allowed myself E3 week to go back to my old self as far as, you know, be completely, you know, entrenched in gaming coverage. Mm. And then the next week, well, actually started that weekend, I totally tried to let it all go.
Mm. Yeah, I'm trying to do something similar. E3 just brings it out of you, though.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's what I said. I'm going to allow myself E3. But after E3, you're going to have to pay me, Sony. I don't do freelance PR.
Oh, man. Okay, so for closing thoughts, six, did you want to give where you would rate the conferences? I know you think Devolver Digital is up there, but what about the the console,
the three console makers. I guess I would give Sony a C plus, Microsoft a C, and Nintendo a D. Like, here's my reasoning for Microsoft. Like, they get an A plus for showing games, but an F minus for showing games that I would specifically want an Xbox One for.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I kind of grade Microsoft on a curve just because, like, their last couple of years have been so bad. You're probably more right, but I don't know. That's how I felt in the moment.
I mean, you guys aren't excited for the Funko Pop Gears game? Like, what are y'all talking about?
What a giant troll that was. And then they're like, oh yeah, Gears 5 is coming, we guess. And it looks amazing. Like, why didn't you, like, I don't know. I don't know why you didn't come out with that first. I thought this was one of the more boring E3s in recent memory. I definitely love Smash, but there is, it's not true, but there is that element of, like, there's been less time than there normally is between Smashes, you know, between Melee and Brawl and Brawl and Smash 4. It's been, it's like 7 or 8 years. This is just 4 years. It kind of looks like Smash 4, even though they're doing a lot of touching up. And I love everything I'm hearing about it, but it's not as hype-inducing as, like, fondness. Absence makes the heart grow fonder or something. I don't know. But yeah, there wasn't anything really big this year. Cyberpunk was great, as Chad said. But here's for next year, right?
Yeah.
Well, next year might even be more boring if there's no new hardware.
We're going to get the Switch Mini.
Oh, God. I will. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck, I was just thinking about, I probably should get the Switch. Probably wait to see if they do a pro version.
Well, they have the dockless version in Japan. And I got to imagine in a year and a half or 2 years, they're going to come out with, you know, a smaller Switch with, you know, the Joy-Cons integrated or whatever, that looks like a normal handheld. Probably, it's probably going to look like the freaking PS Vita. Okay, well, this is a great night. We're keeping it on time again, which I love. I love that since we brought this back, we've been sticking to our time frames. And I want to thank you guys again for showing up.
You're welcome.
I want to apologize about my mic again. I tried a couple different mics before we started recording. None of them really work that well, so I'm going to get a professional mic soonish. So maybe in the future I'll have that. I have big news. Are you guys excited for the big news?
Oh, God. Are we being bought by Nintendo?
We are on the new Google Podcast app, which just came out today. Which makes sense since we're on Google Play Music. They probably just recycled the feed or whatever. But we look a lot better. Like, the UI is a lot better in the new Google Podcast app. So I'm a big fan of that. I'm probably going to start listening to more podcasts now that that's out, even though it is pretty basic. But we're on there. If you're on Android, look us up. Poogie TV.
That's cool.
Every episode ever is available on iTunes and Google Play in our podcast subsite. So I'm pretty happy with how I was able to do that. But hopefully we'll record another one next week. Until then, say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.